This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann, in for Gordon Evans. Coming up, Rebecca Thiel speaks with a bee expert from Michigan State University about how to tell the difference between bees and wasps and why it matters. But first, members of Lavender Morning will reunite on September 30th. At a time when few LGBT people were out, the group brought lesbians in Kalamazoo together in self-defense, but also for support and community. Lavender Morning's 20-year run from 1979 to the turn of the 21st century spanned a pivotal time for gay rights in the U.S. We speak with two members, co-founder River Arts Ifland and Margaret DeRitter, as well as reunion co-organizer and historian Michelle Johnson. Michelle Johnson, River Arts Ifland, and Margaret DeRitter, welcome to West Southwest.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Where does Lavender Morning fit in the history or the evolution of LGBT groups in Kalamazoo?
It was one of the earliest groups in Kalamazoo. At that time, men and women often didn't work together, so it was a lesbian group. And it was, I think, a few years after that the Kalamazoo Gay Lesbian Resource Center it started as a hotline and then gradually became a resource center and has kept going until it became out front as it is today. But at that time, most people were closeted or belonged to very small social groups that you had to find your way into by knowing somebody who said that you were trustworthy.
And if you were a lesbian, it was usually a potluck group. That's what we're known for.
You would organize the gatherings around potlucks?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And River was kind of the center of the community. When I moved to Kalamazoo in 1988, she owned and ran the Pandora bookstore, which was a women's bookstore, and there was no internet then, so a lot of our information, she was kind of the central organizing person. If you wanted to find out something, you went to River.
Mm-hmm. It was called Pandora Books for Open Minds, and it was women, peace and justice issues, a lot of different things, multicultural. But for the lesbian community, it was a hub, although Lavender Morning predated Pandora Books by a couple years, and then we both lasted. Pandora Books lasted for 18 years and Lavender Morning for almost 20, so we were side by side for all that time.
This is Michelle Johnson, and as River mentioned, it was a hub here in Kalamazoo, but it was also an interesting hub for places in the state of Michigan, so that there were strong connections between Grand Rapids and Lansing and Battle Creek. So women would come from those places here, and sometimes women would go to the other spots like that. And so it was a hub for Southwest Michigan in many ways.
This is Margaret. The newsletter itself was produced for many years in the upstairs of the building that River's bookstore was in. So there was that connection, too.
The first several years, Lavender Morning was put together in various members' homes. We would collect or coerce our friends into writing articles and coming up with little events that we could gather at. And then for the first several years, I think 6 years, Zarifa Greenquist at Kalamazoo College had a Selectric typewriter that she would take all these scribbled articles and put a layout together and put them in a print format that looked like a nice newsletter.
So there were a few components to it. There was a newsletter, there were potluck gatherings. How public of a group was this? Did you push for policy changes, or was it really more of a private kind of group?
This is River. There was hardly anybody anywhere in the country pushing for policy changes.
And what year did it start?
Was it 79?
Yep, 79, early 1980. And I would also add, though, that Lavender Morning emerged in part out of a longstanding, you know, women's movement and lesbian women's movement that was happening before that in pockets, and social movements that were happening in terms of civil rights, environmental rights, so women's rights. So women had been advocating and functioning in a policy level in many ways. But then when the attack on the couple happened, it really brought together 45 women who were very upset by what happened and listed a whole wide range of ways to try to address sexual assault in Kalamazoo. And some of them were very much kind of policy oriented, but people came from these histories of historical political action, River being one of those people.
Well, in Kalamazoo, there was a group called Kalamazoo Women's Liberation that eventually split into the National Organization for Women chapter here and a Kalamazoo Women's Center downtown. But at that time, most lesbians weren't out enough to make a lesbian group. So Lavender Morning was the first. Most of us were young. We didn't feel like we had much to lose yet.
And there was an attack on a couple here in Kalamazoo that helped precipitate the forming of the group?
Yes. Two women, their house was broken into and they were raped and beaten. And it was, of course, very upsetting. And we already felt unsafe being lesbian, so that added, the attack that happened to them because they were lesbians.
Did the group then have a protective function? And I guess, spiritually, but also were you looking out for each other physically at that point?
For a few months, we did a security patrol around any women's house at night who wanted patrolling. But that was kind of a naive attempt to keep each other safe, and it gets old to be roaming around people's houses in the dark at night.
You were part of those patrols, though, River?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned that it's a little bit naive, but I imagine that it was comforting and something to be able to do after an incident like that.
Certainly, it was a way for us to begin to become a cohesive group and to feel like we were taking care of each other, that we would protect and defend each other. And we couldn't count on the police to do that yet.
No.
No.
In fact, at that time, I can't remember what year it was, in Kalamazoo, there was also a murder outside the zoo bar, which was a gay bar. A young man was killed for being gay. And when it went to trial, the people on trial were let off on a defense of... It was like gay panic.
Gay panic. The young man was Wayne Watson. The two men picked him up at the zoo bar, indicated that they wanted to have a sexual exchange, and they went down by the railroad tracks and beat him to death with a hammer. And that, I think, was part of the beginning of the Resource Center hotline.
And then the accused were acquitted basically on a defense of, well, we were freaked out because he was gay, and so we can't really be held accountable for murdering him.
Right, right. We somehow didn't know that he wanted to have sex with us, and we went out to the railroad tracks with him.
But. So there were some events that helped to precipitate this. In the public aspect, again, I guess I'm wondering, were there demonstrations or were there acts of discrimination or other acts of violence that you protested, or again, was it sort of more in the private sphere? Now Margaret's being... pointed at here.
River might know more about, I believe there were protests over the Wayne Watson verdict at the time, but I came to Kalamazoo in 1988, so it was after that had occurred. But one of the roles I tried to take on, I worked at the Kalamazoo Gazette for 22 years, and from the day I stepped into that newsroom, I decided I wasn't going to be closeted. So when stories were being written about issues that affected the gay or lesbian community, and I knew of relevant sources, I would always suggest those. And at a certain point, there was a gay and lesbian, National Gay and Lesbian Journalists organization that got started, and they had their first big conference in San Francisco. I believe it was 1993. And at that point, I decided to take a more public role and ended up writing a Sunday column about my experience of attending that, which at that time felt like a kind of a scary step to take. I didn't know how it would be received. And mostly it was received quite well, both in the newsroom and the rest of the building and in the larger community. I got quite a few supportive letters and phone calls, but just one person called me the afternoon that it ran. It ran on a Sunday when, we had our biggest audience, so that was kind of unnerving as well. But there was one man who called and kept saying negative stuff to me about it. And he must have called my machine like three times in the afternoon because I was out at the beach. When I came home, I was listening to it, and I kept hearing him call me something. I couldn't figure out what he was saying. I thought he was saying lesbian wrench, and I thought, that doesn't make any sense. Finally, I figured he was calling me a lesbian wench, which I thought was pretty funny. And he must have just burned himself out with all his messages because he never bothered me again.
And this is Michelle again. One of the things that's really fascinating to watch, again, not having been part of this, but hearing about Lavender Morning and being introduced to Pandora Books when I was a young woman still coming out in Michigan State, and understanding then from looking at a publication from 1980 until 1991, watching how many national protests were being publicized here in the Lavender Morning, and that these folks were taking part in those national protests. So several protests on Washington are happening. Take Back the Night marches are starting and then gaining momentum and becoming a national phenomenon in local communities. And so it's fabulous to watch this growth of the protest movement and the links between protest, very overt protest, and demands in very clear, overt demands for social change and platforms. And so it's really fascinating to watch the development of political strategy that was also very much connected to people's understanding and participation in the civil rights movement marches and those larger protests as well. And so the link, being able to see the link, say, for instance, between Bayard Rustin and his move to organize the March on Washington, and then and as a gay man and having to be in many ways a closeted gay man, but also to see that trajectory grow through these more national protests that, like I said, both of these women were taking part in various places in the country.
Yeah, I attended a Take Back the Night march in Grand Rapids in 1978, and it was a very emotional time for me. I had just been a crime victim myself, a situation similar to what River was talking about earlier, where guys had broken into our house and raped us. And we didn't organize this. Some other women who'd heard about the violence organized a Take Back the Night march, and we participated in it. And it was a powerful experience to be walking on the streets at night with all those other women and not be afraid. And as Michelle said, I also took part in a march on Washington in the 90s. I remember the AIDS quilt being spread out on the National Mall, and that was an incredibly powerful experience to see that and realize all the people who had died in the epidemic, but that, you know, it was a beautiful art form that came out of it, a beautiful way to remember those people.
This is Michelle again, and you both went to Lansing protests. You both went to the Capitol. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's true.
This is River. There's a lot of reason for members of minority groups to be more politically active than the so-called general public. We've got more at stake.
In that time, in that 20 years that Lavender Morning existed, would you say there was a pretty major transformation in what it was like to be a lesbian in Kalamazoo, or what it was like to be an out lesbian in Kalamazoo?
Oh, for sure. It used to be River was the only lesbian in Kalamazoo. Every time that we would run a story in the Kalamazoo Gazette, we would talk to either River Arts at the time or Cyril Colonius. They were like the two token people who were out. And even, you know, at parties and stuff, even after things began to change, some of the older women in the community still wouldn't use the word lesbian. You know, they would have had a partner for decades, but they would call her my friend, right? But gradually over time, things really started to change. And I just remember one day just thinking to myself, wow, most everyone I know is out now, and suddenly it's become the minority position to be closeted, right? And it was a huge change. And I think that's why we are where we are today, that we have marriage rights, because every individual making that decision to say, this is who I am and I'm not going to hide it, changed the society.
Mm-hmm. I think, was it the National Gay Lesbian Task Force that they, somewhere probably in their early 80s, made a big decision, come out wherever you are, and that's been promoted everywhere ever since. And I think it's been greatly to our benefit.
You mentioned in the early days of Lavender Morning that there was this question of who you could trust. And so if someone wanted to join, did you ask them any questions? Did you kind of feel them out? Just to make sure they were there for the right reasons.
In the 5 years before that, how I first found my way into a group was I volunteered with a women's organization. After a few months, they decided they could trust me, and somebody invited me to a party. And, you know, you had to find your way in. And then I became a member of that social group, but then I found a girlfriend. We came out together, and we were the youngest members of that social group. And we figured there must be other students at Western. So we put an ad in the Western Herald for a lesbian support group. And there was a lot of, blowback from the older women. You know, how dare you expose us in this way? But within a month or two, our lesbian support group had about 30 women, 30 young students at WMU. So time was right.
What was the maximum membership, if you will, of Lavender Morning? Was there a point where it really reached a heyday?
We didn't really have membership, but the maximum number of women at Valentine dances was about 200. Because Kalamazoo, first there was nowhere to go in Kalamazoo, and then it became a hub. So dances would have women from within 100 miles or more, from Dowagiac or Mishawaka or Wayland or Muskegon, or, you know, women would tell other women this thing was happening and they'd find their way.
That was River Arts Ifland, a co-founder of Kalamazoo lesbian group Lavender Morning. It was active from 1979 to around 2000. We also heard from Margaret DeRitter and historian Michelle Johnson. Outfront Kalamazoo is holding a reunion for Lavender Morning on September 30th at People's Church in Kalamazoo. Members will record oral histories, watch performances, and hold a dance party.